look up the roll. Would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Ms. Hammond.
Here.
Mr. Waters.
Here.
Ms. Rogers.
Here.
Mr. Norgaard.
Present.
Mr. Crew.
Here.
You have five members present. You have a quorum, Madam
Thank
Chair.
You very much. Is there a motion and second for approval of the agenda?
I'll move.
Second.
So moving was Mr. Norgaard. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The motion carries. The agenda is approved. How about the previous meeting from, what was that, September 15th, 2020 minutes? Are there, do I have a motion and a second? Well, first, are there any corrections or additions?
Okay. I have a small correction.
Yes,
Mr. On page 8, about a third of the way down, I asked a question of Mr. Hempstead, and his response was attributed to me, not to Mr. Hempstead. So my name appears three times in succession.
Okay, very good. I have a couple. One, and maybe Mr. Zinner, absent was Ms. Lechner.
Yes.
And it's not reflected in the present and absence, present up in the heading. So maybe we could correct that.
She is. I do know for a fact when we entered it into our regular minutes that are posted, she is identified as being absent. We will get the main minutes adjusted, though, so that reflects. And we'll just substitute the sheet in if you'll sign on the last page. These changes that we'll make this evening, we'll make sure that the hard copy that we have is corrected to meet what's discussed this evening.
Thank you. Also, this is a question I asked Mr. Zinner at the beginning. On page 9, there's a typo. It should be if, and it was printed as of. Now, that probably didn't change the sentence, or people could ferret out what was meant. But on page 14, Mr. Zinner is speaking, and he says, if you, and he said approve, but it was printed, if you above this motion. And I submit that's kind of maybe a substantial one that we want to correct. So that's the third line from the bottom of the page. And on page 18, Ms. Norgaard, did you have more of a comment? Did you see anything where you...
I noticed that there was a sentence that was abruptly terminated. I don't know what I was...
Okay. So you were just babbling.
According to the minutes.
Okay. Well, sorry. Okay. And then could we put the time of adjournment on page 19? It's missing on these minutes. Know that, Mr. Zinner?
We can, and I'll get that from the video itself.
Thank you. I think that's very valuable, and it was on our work session minutes, so, and other minutes. All right, thank you. That's all I have. Is there, please, a motion and second to approve these with amendments?
I'll move.
Norgaard, second?
Second.
Yes, thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. Next. Okay. Oh, would you please swear in the staff?
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. So, now we're going to go on to case number 191-2020, an appeal of Jay and Vicki Benson, owners, from the denial of the Community Development Department to permit issuance of a building permit for a new single-family home encroaching into the side yard setbacks on vacant property addressed as 507 Old Hawthorne Drive East, which is not permitted by Section 29-4.1A, Table 4.1-1 of the Unified Development Code. Has the property been, has the notice been properly advertised?
Yes, it has.
Has the property been posted with a notice of public hearing?
Yes, it has.
Have the parties in interest been notified?
Yes, they were.
Have there been any inquiries?
No, there have not.
Very nice. Would the person please make an application to the board please come forward, state your name and address, and the court reporter will swear you in. Hello.
May I remove my mask?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. It's good evening. My name is Jay Benson, and I am here with my wife, Vicki, who's seated behind me, to present this request to you folks this evening. Thank you.
Give your address, please, and be sworn in.
Oh, okay. Vicki and I reside at 19592 State Highway 157, Kirksville, Missouri. I do. I don't hear well, so maybe I just misunderstood what you said. If I did, I'm sorry. But
all right.
Thank you for allowing us to this opportunity. Vicki and I have had a second home in Columbia since 2015. We rent out at the residences at Old Hawthorne. And in that time, we have grown to love Columbia, and we have grown to love Old Hawthorne. We decided several months ago that maybe it was time to stop renting and to own. And so we started looking at some homes, we started looking at some lots, and we found a lot that we fell in love with. It's a lot that, and we're going to have some pictures here. And actually, I meant to do this up front. Could I pass?
Yes.
There are more than needed, but of each bundle, each person would take one of each. Yeah, actually,
Oh, here, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
All the bundles that each person
would take one.
Oh, this whole thing is a bundle?
Sorry,
You didn't, you may, okay.
Yeah.
As long as there's more than five, we're okay.
Yeah, that's half of them. I'll probably. I think we made 10. Our copier was working.
I can take one of those.
I wish I would have put them all in one bundle for each person.
Everybody gets one of each thing. Did you get this? Did you get this?
No.
And let's see if Jefferson needs. Do you need this one, Jefferson?
I have that one. I'm missing whatever.
Okay, so this is extra. Okay, so how many pages are there?
There are four. There should be one of this page, which is mine's marked Exhibit A, and it's the one I'm going to be talking about more than anything. Does everybody have it?
I think most of these are in the staff report as well, right?
Yeah. Less important is this page, marked Exhibit B on my copy.
Do you guys have this?
I don't have a copy of that.
But I've marked Exhibit C as this page, which is also going to be discussed. That was something that we created. And then the fourth one is just a blow up of the applicable criteria that I want to talk about. I want to be brief, but are you ready for me to continue then?
Almost. Just one second more. And you both have this one.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're ready.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, as I was saying, we fell in love with this lot that overlooks the number 11 green. As I've told my friends when we're talking about what we're doing, most golf course lots, you go out on your back porch and you look left or you look right. This one, you look straight, and it overlooks the green, and then it looks all the way down the fairway down to the tee box. And it's a really unique lot out there that we were really excited about. We purchased it, and we are excited about building a home on it. But before I get into this, I also want to tell you, I guess I drew the short straw to be the one to come up here. I'm a lawyer. And I think Vicki just assumed that it would be me that would do this, but the truth is she's been the one involved in the planning and meeting with the architects and meeting with the contractors and meeting with Mr. Zinner. I just met Mr. Zinner this evening. So she would do a much better job than what I'm doing, but I guess you have me. So we believe, ladies and gentlemen, and we hope you will agree that the circumstances surrounding our request for a variance meet the criteria of the applicable ordinance, which I understand to be section 29-6.4D31. We think we meet all of those criteria, and we'll talk about those individual criteria here in a minute. But before that, three key points that we think are to be considered in this application for variance. First, it's needed because of the size and configuration of this lot. If you look, I thought the exhibit sticker was going to be on your all's copies, but and it may be on some, but not all. But what, does it have an exhibit A up in the right-hand corner?
Cut off a little bit, but it...
Okay. Well, this is Old Hawthorne Drive East, and our lot is right in the curve of that. And what's interesting about Old Hawthorne Drive East is it is a thoroughfare all the way through the development. In other words, off of WW, you get on it at the westernmost entrance, and then you, and maybe I'm telling you all something that you all know, but then it wraps around the development and comes back out to WW to the east, and in the center of those two is the clubhouse. What's unique about this lot, or at least I'm not a builder, and so I'm learning a lot here, but the frontage is wider than the rear. I had heard the term a pie-shaped lot. What I read in Mr. Zinner's staff report was a reverse pie-shaped lot. So whichever term I use, I mean whatever Mr. Zinner calls it. But the frontage is 112 feet, and the back is 80 feet. So that created for us some challenges in doing what we wanted to do with our house plans. And we'll talk about that more here in a little bit. But with that, the narrowing creates what I've heard termed as pinch points. And we'll talk more about this plan, but pinch points on the corner of the garage where we're asking for 4 feet of setback variance of the required six, and then in the back of the house where we're asking for 2 feet of requested variance. So that's one of the important points about what brings us here today. The second most important, I think, or the second point, but I think the most important is the adjoining lot to the east is actually not a lot, and it's certainly not a building lot. It's a 30-foot piece that that accompanies green space and the cart path that's in the center of it. So instead of adjoining a building lot, we're adjoining 30 feet of, just to our east boundary, 30 feet of this cart path. So we're not asking that a building, a structure, be put in an area where we would waive the setback requirement up next to a building structure. If we were here seeking that, I am certain that we would fail, and we would expect to fail, because the true purpose of the setback requirement wouldn't be served then. But since there is 30 feet of this green space and golf cart, we think that it's not. As I was preparing for this afternoon, I just got the staff report this afternoon for the first time, and I read Mr. Zinner. I assume you authored the staff report, Mr. Zinner.
I had my clerk do it. No, I did.
Okay. Well, it made a couple of comments, and if I can quote. It said setbacks established. He talked about setbacks. Said setbacks establish minimum separation standards between structures and adjoining lots, such that they do not impact one another and assist in ensuring adequate areas exist for natural light and ventilation. It goes on to state setbacks assist in reducing other threats to development, such as the spread of fire by creating. I'm having trouble reading my notes. By creating open spaces between structures. So I point that out because those are good examples of why the true intent of the setback requirement is really not at issue here, because again, we have this 30 feet space. So we would submit to you that the intent of the setback requirements here are not being offended. The third point that I said I wanted to make, before we presented our site plan to the city with our building plans, we consulted with the owner of this 30-foot strip, a gentleman who I'm assuming you all know or know of, Billy Sapp and his company. We met Mr. Sapp at the building lot one Sunday afternoon. We explained to him what it was that we were trying to do, and after looking at it and discussing it, Mr. Sapp said that he had no problem with it. He wouldn't oppose it. And so apparently nobody is opposing it, because I assume nobody is here. But I think those three criteria are big, and it makes this a unique case, and it makes this a case that would be different from a building lot adjacent to a building lot. What is also unique about this is we have wanted to do a 45-degree garage. And so if you look at the site plan, instead of a 90-degree, and I was telling my wife when I was looking at this today, it doesn't look like a true 45-degree angle. And maybe that's right, maybe it's not. But that's what created the challenge, because this is a busy street, and we want to build a circle driveway in the front of the house, and we want to have some parking space in front of the house so that we can enter and exit our property without having to back out onto the street, and so that we can have some space for parking without parking on the street. And we think we can accommodate that to some degree. But if it's a house with a normal front garage or even a 90-degree garage, we lose out on the opportunities to do that. And I'll talk more about this in the criteria, because we think what we're trying to do doesn't take away safety, it adds safety. And Mr. Zinner in his report even commented about that. We think our plan gives us a better and safer flow of traffic in and out compared to alternative plans because of the fact that, or in part because it is such a busy street, and it's a main street. Our plan maximizes our off-street parking compared to alternate plans. Our plan protects the cart path from entering and exiting. Well, that's the other thing that I didn't talk about. There are multiple plans that could put our driveway and garage in direct proximity to the cart path, and that could create some safety issues. You know, the cart path is running up from the bottom up around the southeast corner of our lot, and then up to the north, and then the golf carts cross Old Hawthorne Drive East and then curve around on the north side of Old Hawthorne East. So we think that this plan also is a better plan for that, that golf cart path. So having said all of this, one of the things that Mr. Zinner and my wife, Vicki, talked about was the importance of the general criteria in section 29-6.4 with those other one, A through E. And so looking at that, if you look at each of these criteria, we think each and every one is met. And I think Mr. Zinner acknowledges that in his staff report. I could go through each of these if I needed to, but I mean, they're a bit academic in wording, but I think for reasons we've talked about and for obvious reasons, they're each met. And some, for example, the variance will not harm the public health, safety, or welfare, or be injurious to other property or improvements in the area where the property is located. We think that doesn't take away from that, but it adds to that. In the staff report, there was some comment about the fact that no other Old Hawthorne home had made this request. And I if that's what it was said, I trust that was true. But as I look just at Exhibit A, it seems to be de facto variances in the sense that if you look at our building lines, both on the south and as it, you know, southwest corner, it sure looks like the structures are less than 6 feet. And if you look at the house over to the right side, it looks like that it is less than 6 feet. And so I don't know what the explanation of that was. I wasn't even going to bring it up because two wrongs don't make a right. And, you know, and I want to stay focused on what we're asking for. But if the decision is going to be based in part on what others have done before us, I think it's clear. And I've even driven around the neighborhood and noted what appears to be smaller spacing than the smaller setbacks than 6 foot. I think this shows it as well. I also wanted to say when Vicki and Mr. Zinner initially talked about this, I think Mr. Zinner was negative until he got through it, but Vicki's line to me was that he said, well, it could go either way. You know, his recommendation is that it not be approved, but if it could go either way, then I would hope that you all would give us the consideration. In that regard, I was looking for another note that I had made. Maybe I've lost it here, but you know, there seems to be a response when we talk to people about what we're doing that you're wasting your time. Don't bother because you won't get it. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that there are opportunities when the criteria is met and when the circumstances are right that variances can be given because the criteria is met and because they're the right thing to do. When they're the wrong thing to do, like for example, the circumstance where we're trying to do this up against a building a lot, then I get it. But we think that this is an opportunity to meet the criteria and to grant the variance. Nobody's asking that you deny it from the community, and we would ask that you give us this opportunity to do this. Finally, you know, as I've prepared for this, I've thought, why wouldn't you all say, well, why don't you just make your home smaller? Why don't you do this or why don't you do that? And I'll tell you, in our first plans, we wanted a three-car garage. We didn't have room for it, so we reduced the garage down to two cars. And we have shrunk the house from our original plans, but it got to a point that, at least according to our architect, we can't do that anymore because shrinking here takes away someplace else here. And I know that's not a criteria, but we're trying, and we hope you'll help us. So, any questions of either Vicki or I?
Thank you. Yeah, are there any questions for?
All right. Thank you all very
Benson.
Much.
Does anyone else care to speak in favor of this?
Yeah.
All right.
You forgot this.
All right. Does anyone care to speak against the application? All right. Staff.
Well, lost my other computer. I'm technologically challenged here today. As Mr. Benson has pointed out, Ms. Benson and I did have some lengthy conversations as it related to the application coming before you this evening. This is a request, obviously, for a setback variance for a structure yet to be built. Standard setback in the R1 zoning district, which is what this property is zoned, is 6 feet, and that is from the adjoining property line, and that is irrespective of the development or non-development on the adjacent property. So setbacks have existed since the dawn of zoning here within the city of Columbia. Our 6-foot side yard setback has existed since 1935 with our zoning code, as I pointed out in our staff report, and for the purposes that Mr. Benson pointed out. They're requesting relief in order to allow the home to be constructed such that the setback, if this variance were approved, would in essence be a minimum of 2 feet, and that would be from the adjoining 30-foot wide common lot. As has also been discussed, the property in this particular area is a what we would refer to as a reverse pie. So the small side of the property is interior, whereas many pie-shaped lots actually flare outward from the street frontage. So this is the reverse of that. It is why we refer to it as a reverse pie lot. Oblique aerial here of the area in question. As you can see, the house site is there in the red outlined area with the common lot adjacent to it. Neighboring property to the west, circular driveway, which is what they are desiring to build. As I drove back toward the west on the, to the east, on the east end of Old Hawthorne Drive East, there are a number of other circular drives, semicircular drives, that exist in order to help navigate traffic in and out of the parcels themselves. These are, as many of you may be aware, you know, these are golf course villa homes. They are detached, large footprint property or large footprint structures, generally on postage stamp size lots. While this is not postage stamp by any means as it relates to some of the locales that you all probably reside in, this is a 16,000 square foot lot. Our minimum in the R1 is a 7,500 square foot lot or 7,000 square foot lot. So this is about double the size of a standard R1 lot. But based on the curvilinear nature of the street network that exists, at least that this house fronts on, it is at the apex of the curve. So this is at the very northern point where east and west, in essence, meet. And therefore, that does create some unique elements associated with it. Furthermore, the site does have some significant topographic relief associated with it as it falls off from the road right-of-way. And that is not necessarily an uncommon aspect with the houses that this is going to be surrounded by. Most of these are walkout lower levels, taking advantage of the grade change. But as a result of that grade change, it does definitely result in the buildable area being somewhat restricted. You can't go so far back because as the lot pinches down, as Mr. Benson pointed out, or it gets narrower as it reaches the golf course, you obviously lose lot width. So you're having to maximize how much buildable area you could put forward of, in essence, where the ridgeline of the property may be or where you're going to create basically the basement wall, in essence, from where the grade change is. This is the lot from the recorded plat, something similar to what I believe the Bensons have shown us this evening, with the common lot adjacent to it. So this is to just add validity to the applicant's testimony, 112 feet, just a little bit under 113 on the roadway frontage, the 30-foot wide common lot. Common lots adjacent to our typical properties throughout the city of Columbia, rare. And in this particular setting, I would suggest to you that this lot is even more rare. There are only certain entry points in and through the golf course, This happens to be one of them, connecting the fairways together between the green that they their lot fronts to and the tee box that is immediately to the north of Old Hawthorne Drive East. As has been pointed out, the idea and the whole purpose behind this is trying to maximize safety and circulation internal to the property. Furthermore, as part of the conversation that Ms. Benson and I had, the design of the house took into consideration the nature of the cart path. So the living area of the home, the majority of the living area of the floor plan has been designed such that the living spaces that require peace and quiet and tranquility are actually on the west side of the property, whereas the more utilitarian type of uses are on the east in order to avoid having the conflict with cart path noise and golfers being, you know, boisterous after they've birdied their hole or maybe gotten an eagle. Only in my dreams could I hope I do that. But nonetheless, the house is designed such that the utilitarian space, the garage, and some other areas that would be more useful for just general activity are on the golf course. And I think the point that Mr. Benson's raised as well, and we acknowledge it in the staff report, is that you don't have a house immediately adjacent to it. And I think part of the issue here is yes, that does give some unique focus to this. The fact that it's a reverse pie, the fact that it sits adjacent to a common lot and no impact, no reduction in life safety type related issues. The western side of the home, which would be adjoining the existing developed property, no requests for a variance. It's being requested to maintain current setbacks itself. This is the layout, and I think as Mr. Benson pointed out, and you all have the blow up in front of you, the red areas represent the areas of encroachment into that 6-foot side yard setback. And short of a design change to the home, there really is not room to potentially shift the house further to the south to reduce the encroachment, potentially changing what I believe to be the last octagon that is on the plan is a sunroom, a solarium sunroom type of area. Potentially, as was suggested, should this particular action not be successful, that could potentially be converted to more of a deck or a patio space, not being enclosed. It would be allowed to encroach into the setback. However, that's not what the applicants are desiring to do. They want to create year-round living space. And if I'm not incorrect, the octagon that's diagonally to the west of that is actually the dining area in the house, if I'm correct. So, you know, some changes to the floor plan may be able to deal with that. However, the opportunity exists to come to the board and see if the case is significant enough for the board to consider granting the variance itself. And that was really where we left it with Ms. Benson when she and I talked. I said, look, our position is that it doesn't meet the code. And I've made this statement before this body. We are here to defend the code. And I obviously can't approve a site plan that encroaches into a setback. However, the testimony that's been given this evening with the unique attributes of this property may be enough to allow you, the Board of Adjustment, to grant that relief. The setback would not impact other structures or increase public safety risks, as I've pointed out. It is not in contravention to what the zoning district allows. We allow single-family houses to be built within the R1 zoning district. While it appears as though a lot of our homes, at least from the aerial photography, seem to be really tight to the setbacks, I can't find anything in our records that indicates that we've had a setback variance granted in relationship to any other home out here. Now, we've got some plan zones which do have different setback requirements, but as it relates to the R1 area, we just don't have anything to be able to point to and say, oh, that's how this happened, or there was relief. This lot was created by Mr. Sapp at the time that they laid out the overall Old Hawthorne development. So the Bensons are just the fortunate inheritance, probably after paying King's ransom, to purchase this property. And now they're dealing with the issue at hand here. The variance would grant a privilege. And I don't know any other way of saying it, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, but it is a right that would be bestowed upon them that's different from the rest of their neighbors. However, you have to weigh in context everything else. curvature of the roadway, the reverse pie-shaped lot, the fact that we've got a common lot sitting next to it. Those are all unique features and all unique assets. Yes, they have impacts, and they do create uniqueness, and unique is one thing that we have talked about as being a governor for potentially the granting of a variance. The development of this lot with a single-family home is not going to be any different than anything else, and I can tell you that we have garages that are more 90-degree directly to the road right-of-way. They've been able to make a semicircular driveway work. However, those lots are often more rectangular, not pie-shaped like this, so the adjoining lot next to it has more roadway frontage. It is more of a rectangular standard lot. Therefore, it can accommodate things like this. In driving out on Old Hawthorne Drive East, there are a lot of angled garages. And it was something that I noticed as I was touring the neighborhood, going through and visually getting myself acclimated to this particular site. I noticed a tremendous number of angled garages. And some of that has to deal with the design of the lots that were created. In the mind of a land developer and a designer, they think that, these are really cool lots and they'll allow for some really unique construction. Well, they definitely do, but sometimes that really can challenge the architect's mind as to how do I get everything my client wants on the property. Most everyone was able to do it. The Bensons apparently are, they can't, not with what their architect and they have come up with at this point. The variance is the least change possible at this point, short of a rezoning. And to rezone a single parcel to a planned zoning district to grant a waiver to reduce setbacks seems a little bit beyond really what's necessary in this particular instance in our mind. We only normally allocate rezoning requests to something that's going to have a much greater benefit accrued over a larger land area, a 16,000 square foot lot, single plan district with a 2-foot side yard setback seems a little bit over the top. And as I pointed out in the staff report and as Mr. Benson pointed out, public safety would definitely likely be enhanced. They would not have to be backing out onto the top of the curve. They'd be able to actually circulate to and from the garage, head in to the street. They're going to be able to have guests over. They're going to be able to park in their driveway as well instead of having to park out on the public street, which would be permitted. I think everything that I've said up to this point makes this point. The property is unique. However, the variance is a creation of the design. It's not necessarily limited by the fact that design can't correct that. And no structure is currently built. If we had a structure here and they were looking at adding something onto that structure and we were dealing with an existing improvement that was being impacted by the unique nature of the property, I think our position would be different. That the unique nature of the property, because it's a property they've inherited, already built upon, would be something then that would maybe more readily allow us to, in good conscience, recommend approval of the variance. In this particular instance, we've got raw ground. And as a result of that, we believe as a staff, denial is a proper recommendation from the staff's perspective, given that there are other design alternatives potentially that could be explored that may reduce the necessity for the variance. So we are recommending denial of the request because it does not meet the code requirements. And we believe that there are other alternatives available to resolve that impasse. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Or maybe after I close the public hearing?
Yes.
So, Mr. Benson, would you like to make any more comments before I close the public hearing?
Actually, Mr. Benson, I actually have a question for you.
Yes. I'm getting up here where I can hear, I hope.
Okay. So I'm looking at this, your exhibit that shows the floor plan of the house. I'm not sure what exhibit this would be.
Here.
Exactly. And I'm just wondering, if the lot had been 112 feet wide by 141 feet deep, and rectangular in shape, would you be here tonight? Like if the lot were rectangular and the size of the frontage would...
I don't think so, and Vicki may be the better one to answer.
We need you at the microphone, please. Thank you. Thank you.
It may have given the architect some room to deal with this front corner. It certainly wouldn't have been needed in the back. I think it might have still been tight in the front, but I'm guessing it would be doable.
You want to come up and get sworn in,
please?
I mean,
it looks
in,
like if it were rectangular, you'd be able to fit this in, right?
So possibly.
State your name. The question, if it were a rectangular lot instead of a pie-shaped lot, would that have alleviated the problem?
Yes.
Yeah,
would you state your name and address, please, and be sworn in?
Oh, 19592 State Highway 157, Kirksville, Missouri. Yes. As I understand from the architect, that the shifting is what continues to create this, and I don't know a lot about what she's talking about, but this 4 feet, it's creating some of the pinch in the back when she tries to move it, and so I'm not so sure. If it were just a complete rectangle, my guess is it would not be as much of an issue. I don't think it's going to create all of what it creates back here.
Okay.
Shifting, but I don't know if that answers.
It does. I have a follow-up question. So Mr. Zenner indicated that in your discussions with him, you've made design adjustments already.
Mm-hmm.
How many would you say that you've made? Just particular to this case, not...
Five or more. I mean, months. We have been working on it for some time to try to avoid this because we just weren't sure if this was going to be an option. So, you know, and we hated to delay, delay till now to get to here tonight. You know, at this point, not sure if we'll make any of it work until next year, you know, a building project with winter approaching, but we felt like we were at the point where we had to come talk to you to see if this would work. And when Billy Sapp had said he was fine with it, and we go talk to neighbors and everybody's like, we're fine with it, we thought, well, maybe there was a chance. So
yeah, and I didn't mention that we visited with the neighbor to the west and the neighbor to the east, and while neither of them, we didn't ask them, will you support this, do you have a problem with it, we just told them that we, you know, what was going on, what we were trying to do, and ask if they had any questions or concerns, and neither one of them did, and that must have stayed true because they're not here tonight. So,
and Jay's right in that when you look at the drawing, whichever exhibit that is, that everything is pretty tight in there, and so, you know, they were kind of looking at paint going, so you need 4 feet, that's what you're wanting, and so as silly as it sounds, it will help correct some of this going on. So
one of those aerials, not that one, but it showed it on the east edge of the eastern house, just, you know, and there's no tape measure out there, but just how tight, and maybe it was just the 12, but there's some stuff in the corners that clearly are just right up against the property lines, and I don't know if there's an explanation for that, but it's sure visible. So again, when I was initially thinking all this, I wasn't even going to mention that, and I hope I'm okay by mentioning it, because two wrongs don't make a right, but it certainly exists.
And I'm not sure if he hit as much as I thought needed to be about the safety issues of, they keep calling it a circle drive, and it's more of like a half moon, you know, half circle, just to be able to come in safely in and out on that street that is busy. It does move fast. And if you can imagine when cars are parking out there and people opening their doors, getting in and out, it's not safe. And so allowing for the way the house was going to be set up would allow for getting that parking off of the street. And then with this cart path, that these golf carts are just coming constantly up through this golf path, and that then, that garage creates a barrier between the two, where you're not trying to just put a garage on the front of your house and everybody whipping in all at the same time. So
I have a question. What is the speed limit of Old Hawthorne Drive East?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I asked that question this afternoon and would have liked to have gone out and checked it out. But do you know, Patrick?
Excuse me?
The speed limit?
It's between probably 25 and 35 miles an hour.
That's what I would guess. And it's so unlike, you know how it is, where you're in a quieter street and in the areas that are more quiet. It's different over there, and so that's why we thought we needed to get cars off the street somehow and then create some sort of barrier for that path. So when somebody's not paying attention and they're trying to whip into your house and here comes these golf carts that are crossing the street to get over to the other side of the...
How do the golf carts cross? Is there any kind of blinking light, or they just go when it looks safe?
Okay. They just yeah, that's
all right.
They just look both ways, maybe. So yeah, you know, they're so.
See, I told you she would do a better job than me.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you all.
Hey, Janet. Before you close, I have a question for Pat.
Oh.
Do we close the hearing before
close
that?
The hearing first. Okay. We're going to close the public hearing. Very much.
I wanted to check on one thing. I don't recall Pat being sworn in. Am I mistaken about that?
He was.
I was.
Yes,
okay.
He was. Okay, so, commissioners, we can ask. Well, first, Mr. McManus, do you have comments you would like to make on this?
I have no comments, but I would like to make sure that exhibits that have been presented are moved.
Yes, microphone. And I've given
microphone
them to Pat.
Sorry?
Speak into the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I have no comments, but I would like to make sure that the exhibits are admitted into evidence.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Zinner has them. Thank you. So, commissioners, questions, comments?
Mr. Norgaard, I have a question for Pat. So, can we go back to the... your initial screen?
This one?
Yeah. So I'm noticing a lot of PD, PUD, and PD 4.2. I'm wondering, I assume this was a PUD development back in 1997 when it was, or 2007?
So what surrounds it is planned district.
Okay.
These particular parcels, if you'll notice, this identifier right here that I'm circling is R1. These lots are actually part of the R1 zoning district. These, the purple boundary is the zoning boundary, which represents the distinction between planned district property and the R1 of the golf course. The yellow lines that are on this aerial photography are actually the lot lines that exist. So we've got around the golf course here on the north, which is this picture. So this, all of this development up here is a planned district, as well as this. These couple of lots in here are all R1 along with the golf course fairways. And then the development that's down here that is off the map, that's planned district as well. So Old Hawthorne, when annexed in 2004-05, was mixed. We've got planned districts of varying densities. We've got commercial, what was then CP, commercial planned districts, now PD as well, that allowed for some retailing at the intersection of what is now Rolling Hills Road and WW. The golf course clubhouse is actually, if I am not incorrect, it was defined at the time that the annexation occurred as the accessory use to the overall development, and therefore the golf course is not zoned commercial. It's zoned R1 as an amenity center. So, I mean, and then amenity areas that are here that are more community-wide amenity areas, if I recall correctly, are zoned PD, and they've been developed with a plan. The golf course is one of those anomalies when we develop golf courses today, which we're not developing any, it would be an open space district. And the golf course clubhouse, the driving range, and other accessory uses would be considered just permitted as part of the golf course itself. And so this configuration of lot arrangement with being surrounded by planned districts, which is probably why we get a little bit of the reduction in side yard setbacks, so it almost looks as though you're building right on top of lot lines. Some other things out here, just as an aside, the development that's, if I'm not incorrect, the development that is occurring up here is an ABC lot or some of our other lots where we've got joined units. So they an A and a B, and then there's a common lot that wraps them. And that's not an uncommon feature out here either. So the mixed zoning in Old Hawthorne is another unique attribute here that offers, and that's why when the home, if this variance were approved and the home were allowed to be constructed, it's not going to look out of place because there is variability in the setbacks. And then given the scale of these houses as it relates to the separation, you're really physically, at least on this eastern side, you're not going to notice that it's only potentially 2 feet from a property line. It would be more obvious, of course, if it were on the west side of this property and we were pinching down between the existing home and the new home to be built. There are a whole series of other issues associated with that on the construction site as well, because the rating of the wall, the rating of glass or any openings, all of that becomes an additional expenditure that would have to be addressed as soon as you reduce your separation to as little as 10 feet between the buildings as single family, and hence the reason we have a 6 foot side yard setback, so you maintain 12 feet.
Well, is that like for fire or
yes.
something?
Yes. So it's the building code and the fire code work together in that respect. The other issue is often, depending on how you have utilities and other things, often the utilities maybe share, they're in between homes, and you generally need places for your air conditioning handlers and things of that nature. You get smaller than that, it often becomes a problem. In this particular instance, of course, where the setback encroachment would be, we've got a lot of undevelopable land, and I didn't point that out as part of the staff report and probably need to. The common lot itself cannot be. It is too narrow to be used as a buildable lot. It is labeled as a common lot as well, which is another one of those unique demarcations on a lot. It's not meant for development for a structure unless it was something potentially to deal with the golf course, like a bathroom house or something else, but the lot's too narrow really to accommodate anything other than the cart path and the green space. The width of the lot and the placement of the cart path is not atypical in my experience in living in a golf course community when I grew up, that you normally do oversize these lots so the homes that are on either side aren't as negatively impacted. And obviously, as the Bensons have pointed out, Mr. Sapp was notified, the development company was notified, and we've received no response.
Other comments?
Yeah, I mean, the only comments I would make, I think, are what have been repeated. Granting this aids public health, it's substantial compliance with the code, it's a unique lot with its reverse pie, so it's something that's unusual or peculiar to the property. There's no detriment to the adjoining property. It will not substantially change the neighborhood. The next door neighbor house has a circular drive.
I would like, I'd just say that while it does confer privileges not otherwise available to other residents in this neighborhood, it is new construction, and therefore by definition any encroachment upon the side yard setbacks or setbacks in general are a problem created by the applicant. And so in that respect, it does not satisfy the variance requirement, the first variance requirement. In addition, I would say that I understand that it's a rare lot, as Pat points out. This is not a common lot shape. You're right, the overall impact is probably low because, you know, we're looking at a map right now showing houses, and some of these houses look like they're less than 6 feet apart, but the scale of this, the scale of these houses is pretty large, and so 12 feet doesn't look very big, so.
Yeah, but the intent of the setback is one of fire protection, I think, as Mr. Zenner said, one of green space, natural separation, aesthetics, all of which are accomplished with the existing non-buildable piece, right? So.
Well, I guess have we discussed the, I mean, it is abutting a golf cart path, and so the question is, does it obstruct the view of this dangerously fast traffic for the golf carts? Does it imperil the golf cart drivers? So it does address the substantial safety for the applicant, but it may create additional safety hazards for the users of the common lot.
If I may, the red line represents the front yard setback.
Okay.
So this red line, this, the large dots, the property corner, of course, this location and this red line here, which is represented on, I believe, the plan you have in front of you, that is actually the front yard setback, which is 25 feet back from the right-of-way line, which is actually probably an additional 13 feet back from the back of curb.
No obstruction.
I don't think there will be an obstruction. I mean, basically, by the time you get past the garage extension, if that's the concern, where the garage encroaches into the setback, you're still going to have 25 plus 13 to 11, anywhere between 11 to 13 feet.
Ample time to slow down unless you're going really fast.
That's exactly. I mean, this is going uphill as well, so if you're going really fast, you've got a gas-powered golf cart.
Pat, I'm noticed in your staff report that a lot of the planned districts in the area have different setback requirements, and there may not be a 6-foot setback requirement for very many, not substantially all of the other lots in the development. Is that correct?
I wouldn't want to overcharacterize that because there is a lot of R1 development on the west side of Old Hawthorne, which does comply. Now, I would suggest on the east side of Old Hawthorne, there are more planned zones. Linkside, for example, is a planned district, which is up towards the eastern entrance. We have the developments that are here. And yeah, they do have modified setbacks. Often what we ended up with is we ended up with building separations more so than a traditional setback. So without going back in and doing the PD plan research itself, what I can tell you is there's probably some building separation, and that goes to Mr. Crew's point and ours in the staff report, is we wanted to ensure fire safety, fire and life safety related matters. So we maintained a separation. We didn't necessarily maybe adhere specifically in those plan zones to a particular lot setback, given that we were maintaining the building separation. I've seen a number of statements of intent, which are what are utilized to define how a parcel will develop, using the terminology of building separation, not necessarily setback. I think we have evolved since 2005 as a department in how we require statements of intent to be written now, and we are far more consistent with the terminology of setback, not separation, because separation can be very misleading. I mean, you could have a building being set 2 feet off of a property line and the other building being set 10. And from an administration standpoint, that becomes very complicated to figure out. It's a sliding scale at that point. So we've chosen to really, in more contemporary plan districts, go with just a standard setback from a property line. And if you want to reduce it to 2 feet, state that. But we don't have many that are like that in straight zoning. I mean, straight zones, we would never have that because our zoning classifications are based on the dimensional table, which are from a property line, not between buildings.
So I agree that this is a unique lot, and There are certainly some, this would make a safer, if this is the only way to put a circle drive or a large enough driveway that doesn't entail backing out onto Old Hawthorne. But this is, these are conditions personal to the owner. And I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to support this variance request. All right, shall we, can I, is there a motion, please, to...
Just need a motion.
I move.
Yes, I just need a motion.
I move that we read the variance request into record and vote.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call the roll, please.
So if I understand what Mr. Norgaard was saying, there is a recommendation and a second on the floor to deny the request of variance.
No,
no,
we can
to
only
approve.
To approve.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for, I want to make sure I had that clarity correct. Okay, so there is a motion and a second on the floor to approve the requested setback variance for 507 Old Hawthorne Drive East, Jay and Vicki Benson, to permit a setback of 2 feet on the eastern side of said lot. Ms. Hammond?
No.
Waters?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
No.
Norgaard?
No.
And Mr. Crew?
Yes.
Motion fails 3-2.
Thank you very much for appearing before us today, this evening. So at this point, are there any comments or discussion from the board? I have one thing. Last meeting we talked about changes we would like to see in the application process and other things. And I'm wondering about adding to the application or asking staff to report to us one way or the other if there's been any variance granted on a particular property in the past. Does that make sense? Has there been other variances in the past on whatever the case is before us?
We would typically point that out as a part of the case history.
Okay, so we don't have to go look that up.
No, if any of you are familiar with looking at a zoning report that we produce, we've got a series of boxes that are typically following the discussion. They're summary boxes of transportation-related things, parks and recreation improvements, CIP, our capital improvement budget improvements, that impact the subject site as well as the site history. And that would be carrying forward just a site history box would be something that we could probably add to the staff report itself, if not just roll it into the background discussion section that we do when we normally give a summary of the application. It is something that we do look at because often if a variance has been requested, the first step we end up doing when somebody comes to us and says they want to apply for a variance, the first thing we would do is make sure that they didn't already get one. It's unlikely if the property is still vacant that it would remain that way. I mean, in the instances where a property was hot and heavy for development and then fell off, that's possible, and then got sold multiple times. Haven't experienced that in my time here. But we can, that's not an issue. That's something more for us to do than it would normally be for the applicant. So that is a staff reporting issue, and I can let our staff know that we need to just add that caveat.
Thank you. That would, I'm thinking more not of vacant land, but of a developed property that's come for some type of variance, or an expansion or something like that. So
Greektown is a prime example for things like that potentially, where we've got properties that have sought multiple variances.
And I'm thinking of Logboat Brewery. In fact, have they have they applied for two different variances?
My recollection is just one up to this point.
Yeah, but so thank you. Anyone else have anything else? All right, a motion to adjourn. Can I have one, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Applications on Monday of this week, so there is no November meeting, and may be able to start your holidays early because maybe we won't have one for December, but you do have a December scheduled meeting for the beginning of December, which if I'm not incorrect is December 10th. So we will know that December agenda in early November, and I will keep you all informed. Otherwise, at this point, we have completed at least our work sessions that we had indicated that we wanted to handle. I will bring back to you or distribute to you for your review the modified application form so you all can see what that'll look like with the changes that you asked for at the last meeting. And Jack can provide me that memo and I'll get that out to you also. But enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday, because I won't see you potentially until December, and just wait to hear from me via email, and we'll let you know if we've got a December meeting as well.
Good, thank you. I'm sorry, I forgot Mr. Cruz. Jefferson, welcome.
Thank you. We're glad to have you on board.
So, thank you all.
Okay, thanks.
We're adjourned, yeah.